Three of the five seats on Visalia City Council will be decided by voters on Election Day, November 8, 2005. In September, each of the eight certified candidates were given the opportunity to be interviewed by freelance reporter and interviewer Chris Haberman of Visalia. Each bona fide news interview is about 30 minutes in length and will be broadcast exclusively on KVLP throughout this election season. You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Sam Logan.
All right, I'm here with Sam Logan, and Sam is running for City Council. Sam, what got into you, man? What would ever possess a successful investment guy like yourself to decide to jump in the
throw your hat in the ring?
Yeah.
Well, let me talk about it a little bit, Chris. First off, you and I have known each other for a few years, and I need to divulge that we were on the board of directors for United Way of Tulare.
Absolutely.
Tulare County for several years, and I was the treasurer on that board for 2 of the 7 years I was there. What got me into the ring, so to speak, is it goes back quite a ways. I didn't decide to do this a week or two ago or a month or two ago. I looked at the world differently in about 1991-92. I was a corporate type of guy. Had been transferred across the United States with Campbell Soup Company. I worked there 9 years. I worked for Lewis Rich Company for 13 years. I was the manager of industrial engineering, and I was one of the team of 3 people that came to Tulare County with the Lewis Rich facility site in mind. We looked at Exeter first and found out that they were really no growth. And then we went to the city of Visalia and the city of Tulare, bought 185 acres for $4,000 an acre, and built a 325,000 square foot building that hired 1,400 employees. Obviously, at that point in time, the city and county of Tulare were, city of Visalia, the county of Tulare were on the other side of the table. They were shaking our hands and saying, please come to town, and we've got these great barbecues to attend and all that sort of thing. And along with those folks in this county, there were people from Stockton to Bakersfield to Kerm and to Fresno to Sanger to Fowler. We were in the economic development posture at that point in time. We did build the Lewis Rich Grain Mill in Goshen and spent $5 million 2 years before we located down here. But anyhow, as the manager of industrial engineering, we came down, we looked at the site on the south end of Tulare, and it was beautiful. It was full of mustard plants, and they were all in bloom. It was spring, it was green. A freeway at the south end of our property, a proposed property, railroad on the west side, freeway on the east side, just a beautiful spot, creek going through.
Good location.
Good location. Out of the 185 acres, we developed a little over 20 and built a 325,000 square foot building. 3 years later, Kraft Foods, who owned Lewis Rich, decided that it was going to be a beautiful place to put a Parmesan cheese plant. Didn't feel they needed the turkey processing in our county.
Right.
And they gave most of the employees, the managers anyhow, choices of moving to other locations in the Kraft Foods system or to leave the company. And so Madison, Wisconsin was a beautiful city, but not, didn't like 40 below zero and wasn't interested in going to West Liberty, Iowa. They gave me a year's salary, and with that, I went to work for a firm called A.G. Edwards here in Visalia. I had an interesting couple years, and my first political campaign that I worked on was for county supervisor, and a gentleman that didn't win, his name was Gene Ross.
Gene. Yeah.
Gene, I walked precincts for him, and the next supervisory election, I was the MC for Bill Mays's opening kickoff fundraiser. Kind of got the idea that at that point in time in my life, that Visalia was now going to be a permanent residence for me. I'm a native Californian, born in the Bay Area, college at Cal State Hayward, my undergraduate degree in business. I have an MBA from Pepperdine, and went to work right out of college lived in Modesto, Campbell Soup. Lived in Modesto for 20 years. That's where I got my MBA. And a short time before that, I went to Vietnam and got my free...
Your real degree.
My real degree, a real life degree.
What years were you there?
I was there in 1965 and 66. I was there 16 months. I was on the Oklahoma City. I was in the Navy. Interesting time in my life. I was engaged to my now spouse, Marie. We got engaged at about 19, 20 years old. And interesting time to leave your spouse and go off into war, but that's what you did. I volunteered. I didn't get drafted, but educational, to say the least, and came back with all my fingers and toes. Part of my educational background, yeah, knock on wood, but, you know, this, my father was in the Navy. My grandfather is buried in France, casualty of the First World War. My dad was a prisoner of war in the Second World War. He was also in the Navy. Shanghai, China, he was captured.
Wow.
Anyhow, when 1991 showed up, I looked at, now, how can I meet folks in this community? How can I become part of the community? I went down to the Chamber of Commerce office and signed up for five committees. And thought, well, they'd pick me for one of them at least.
Well,
surprise. I was now a member of every committee practically the Chamber had. And about 8 months later, I was on the board of directors for the Chamber of Commerce. Don Sharp and Dan Dooley were folks that were the president before and after, just as I started. A lot of issues were coming down on the Chamber. We had some financial issues, and we resolved those, had some changes in personnel, and you can look at what the Chamber is today. We were 2 weeks short of shutting the Chamber down back when I started as a board member. We'd spent $140,000 more than we took in for 1 year.
And upside down,
and we had to lay off folks, and that was very traumatic. But today, we have an extremely strong Chamber. I've contributed to my $3,000 contribution so that we can build a new office, and I'm very, very proud of our Chamber. About the same time, maybe shortly thereafter, I looked for other opportunities to volunteer in our community. Became a board member for Hospice of Tulare County. Was on that board for 6 years. Was a chairperson for a year. Was on the United Way board with you for 7 years, and 2 years as treasurer. Worked with Ernie Hernandez, who's quite a gentleman, and really enjoyed working at that. Along the way, I've been in several other boards. One of the more interesting ones was Business and Professional Women. I was the only guy. If you know Joe Allschultz, he was the president of BPW prior to me.
I do remember that,
But he left there before I started, and so that's kind of like education that you don't get at business school.
No.
But it was very, very interesting, and I made a lot of great friends and some really neat people there. Subsequent to that, joined Rotary, Visalia County Center Rotary. I've been on in that group for about 7 years now, and I'm on the board of directors currently, and having a great time with that. Why would I join, or why would I become involved?
Why would
I want to do that? Well, there's one other thing that I kind of left out, and involvement in the city. You know, involvement in nonprofits is one aspect of life that takes you away from Monday Night Football. I joined the Citizens Advisory Committee to the City Council, and I was on that board for 6 years. The last 2 years I chaired that, and so that takes me back to about 10 years ago. So I obviously worked with several mayors, several members of council, chaired subcommittees on the golf course, which is exciting, the police and fire department, which is even more exciting. I got to ride in a police car a whole bunch of times, spent a weekend at the fire department, brought my sleeping bag and rode the fire trucks, hosed down blood off the streets, and found that to be much better. You know, nothing against Bruce McDermott, but if you want to find out how the police department's running, you go get in a police car and you ride till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Same way with the fire department. Fire chief is great, but how do the fire folks live?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow, so when I started getting involved in the community activities, I went through my 6 years in the Citizens Advisory, and then waited out a year, and then went into the Planning Commission some 3.5 years. It'd be 4 years in January.
So you're currently on the Planning Commission?
I am chair of the Planning Commission right now. One of my opponents, Victor Perez, has been on the Planning Commission a year or two longer than me. He was chair 2 consecutive years. He was the chair when we had the Big Packwood Creek expansion. Anyhow, my decision to start looking at the leadership in Visalia began approximately 10 years ago in city activities, but I've been in the leadership function of management for 23 years between the two food processing companies, and financial education for the last 13 years in the and two firms here in Visalia.
Wow, that's quite a history.
big paragraph.
Yeah.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Sam Logan.
Wow. Well, where can we start? Well, I think we've covered some of this that I was going to ask you, but let me ask you this. You know, you obviously have a lot of experience doing a lot of things. Do you have a particular emphasis that you think you would focus on should you become a city councilman?
Yeah, there's three or four pieces that are very interested, or that the citizens are really interested in, I think. One of them is growth, and one of them is a planned growth. Another one that that comes to mind from my standpoint is education. My wife and daughter had the fantastic experience in 1999 of sitting next to each other at the football stadium of Fresno State. They both received their master's degree sitting side by side.
Wow.
My daughter had two master's degrees, my wife one. They both received 4.0s, perfect grades at Fresno State.
Glad your daughter took after her mother.
Yeah, that's the good side of this story. The bad side of the story is my wife commuted to Fresno one night a week for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that we are very, very underrepresented in the educational arena for mm-hmm. the post-junior college, anyhow, realm of things. My wife, a couple years ago, was voted the number one alumni teacher from Stanislaus State, along with 22 teachers from the other 23 state colleges. They had a big shindig. They went down to Long Beach, and we met with the chancellor of all the state colleges, and all the presidents of all the colleges were there to congratulate us. I watched how that system works. I understand how the political side of that system works. They have a room that's 10 times the size of our city council chambers, so that the 23 presidents can sit in a circle. It's kind of like going to the United Nations.
Right.
We need to approach the state college system at that level. We need to go to the chancellor. We need to go to the president's meetings. We need to plead our case.
So
we need to be
in
front
your list
and center. Education is high on my list.
And specifically, getting COS to be a four-year institution?
I don't know that you can get COS to be a four-year institution. You probably could put a lot more classes on that campus. Our town's over 100,000. We can support something like
sure.
that. I went to Cal State Hayward as an undergrad.
Right.
We're bigger than Hayward is, although mm-hmm. they now call Cal State East Bay.
Right.
They do have a big draw. Another issue that we'll have, and is from a community for a long time, is water.
Mm-hmm.
We had a recent vote. I watched four of our council people vote yes to a study on water. One of them voted no because $78,000 was going to be too expensive. I think water may be very, very inexpensive as far as our monthly bill, but without it, our community will dry up.
Right.
There's been a recent judgment against the Frank Dam water, which is the Frank Canal. If we have to recharge the San Joaquin River, that means the city of, 40% of the city of Fresno won't have water. Orange Cove and the city of Lindsay won't have water. All our orange groves won't have water, and virtually all the water in Fresno County for the biggest agricultural county in the country won't be supplied water. Salmon will have water, a lot of water, and I love to go salmon fishing. I have done that for several years, but we do have an agricultural-based economy, and water is the key to that. Read the King of California if you want a full history on it. But
right.
our city will have some real issues, maybe from overdraft. Maybe from expansion.
When you say overdraft, meaning overusage?
Pulling more water out of the aquifer than the city, than the water supply will maintain.
Do you have thoughts on how that could be addressed?
Well, the first thought is to have the analysis completed mm-hmm. and then act on recommendations that the analysis brings up. Jesus Gamboa, who was against voted against the analysis for cost reasons, which may be prudent, but on one hand, financially prudent, but on the long-term, water is probably the issue that's going to tie in maybe with air quality, the two quality of life things we have.
Right, right.
Other issues than that, we're going to have a green corridor issue. the scenic corridor,
yeah,
which basically goes from where the Oak Liquidators would be mm-hmm. on the west end to just about the building we're sitting in here. We're across the freeway right now, north right. side of, what would you call it? Adventure Park.
Right. From Acres and 198.
Acres and 198 over to just past Shirkin 198. That's a scenic corridor. We also have a scenic corridor on the east side of our city. And that east component has the Quia Oaks Preserve, right. which is a pristine piece of property. Mm-hmm. It's like the Mooney Grove Park, but without grass. It's natural. It's beautiful. It's the kind of thing. I've hiked to the top of Half Dome 14 times. I've been to the top of Mount Whitney 4 times. I love the mountains. Wow. I love the trails. I love the scenic parts of our community and our county. And it's great to preserve those. We need to do it on both ends. We need to support the sign ordinances. I would hate to see us ever have a sign ordinance in Visalia that allowed the McDonald's sign that is sitting in Farmersville 60 feet in the air. It says, "Welcome to Farmersville" on top, and it says McDonald's for the first 60 feet. That's right. not how you build a scenic corridor, whether you're talking about the east or west. I don't want to see those kinds of things on either end of our city. Let's keep it beautiful if possible.
Do you have any thoughts on how the scenic corridor is going to be paid for?
Scenic corridor is about an $8 million project if you go 150 feet deep at year-ago prices. That's when we're talking $100,000 an acre. I was talking to Fred Brasuelos at lunchtime today. Now property, developable property in our city is now going for $200,000 an acre. So $8 million would be the first 75 to 100 feet in from the freeway, which is, you know, landscaping there is starting to grow up. Looking at the consensus of the recent city-wide survey, the citizens were, first off, half the citizens didn't know what the scenic corridor was.
Right.
Then they were asked, and then they were told what it was, and they said, "Well, you pay $2.50 a month to develop a scenic corridor for $8 million. No. How about $1.23 a month? No. How about 83 cents a month? Still, we had a majority of the people not willing to pay for the 83 cents. People in that same survey were more interested in the gang issues, education issues, how do we protect our citizens, why don't we have any fire response or police response in the northwest, the south, southwest. Mm-hmm. You know, the four corners of our city right. are a long way away from police departments or fire departments. And those issues, we passed Measure T, that was a mandate from the citizens to protect them. That right. was a mandate for fire, that was a mandate for police.
Now, for those people that don't know, of our listeners, T was the tax that raised money for
right.
specifically for...
The quarter cent sales tax that we added to Visalia so that we could add the new fire station that we just broke the ground for maybe 6 months ago, yeah, 3 months ago, out on Shirk Road, out past Doe Avenue. That will be a great add-on for the police and fire. It's also going to be a training area. It's going to be enough acres. I think McMillan Homes donated 3 acres to that parcel. I think if you look at prioritizing things, we have to protect our citizens. We have to have, you know, the quality of life in this community is fabulous. I love to go downtown.
Right.
You go downtown 10, 11 o'clock at night. You can hold hands and walk down the street, and people say hi and smile at you. We have probably the best downtown of any downtown in the valley. I remember going to Old Town in Sacramento when I was a kid.
Right.
I grew up in a family of hardworking folks. I spent nights at $1.50 a night on army cots in Old Town in Sacramento in the 1960s. Not a great place to be. Same thing with Stockton.
Yeah.
Our downtown is beautiful, and to keep it that way, you have to feel safe being there.
Yeah,
you want to love that restaurant scene. We've got beautiful restaurants down there. You can pick just about any kind of restaurant you want and go there. So is the green, is the scenic corridor the number one priority for the city? I would say it should be a priority. We finished, in fact, I worked on the charrettes that they had for what the scenic corridor should look like, the development of a plan, you know, where should we put parks and green strips.
Okay.
But that was done 15, 16 months ago.
Okay.
And it has yet to be approved by the city council.
Hmm.
Why, I don't know. I know there's some splits on how the city council looks at growth and those sorts of things, but that is an issue that needs to get resolved. We need to protect that.
Right.
But do we need to do, you know, if we're making choices, we got to go for a balance. We got to go for that balance. The first part of the balance is safety. The second part of that balance is a quality of life issue, and they're both quality of life issues. The second one is the visual thing that you get to see when you drive down the freeway.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Sam Logan.
Well, has the growth and the expansion of the city outstripped the services necessary to take care of the people as far as police and fire and other kinds of services?
Well, the growth that we have set asides every time we do a development, there are set asides for police, fire, city schools, sewers, solid waste. Virtually every service the city has, there's a fee that's attached to the whole development, and it obviously goes back to each one of the homes. So each homeowner that buys a house is taxed before they even move in, for a school, for a fire department component, a police department component. And we have the reserves in the city accumulated or accrued to handle that, particularly when you look at the Measure T that goes along with it. We are expanding to the point now, and by the way, we're expanding in concentric circles just like the 1991 general plan said we were going to be. We're probably going at a rate somewhat slower than we signed into policy back in 1991 by the council in 1991. If we're going to grow at 3 to 4%, when you hit 100,000 people, that means you're going to go for another 4,000 folks, and we're running out of time here.
No, okay. I just wanted to check the time and see
how we're doing. Are we outgrowing some of the areas? Okay, some of the areas that have very specific concerns are circulation. The corner of Lover's Lane and Acres was a level of service F, A being a good grade, F being failure. It was a level of service F when we adopted the circulation element in 1991, signed by one of the folks that's running for council right now. And when you walk down the freeway off ramps, you go to Shirk, you go to Acres, you're seeing those levels of service F approach during high traffic areas. One of the issues that we'll have to resolve to alleviate some of that is to get the school districts to not put students on one side of the freeway and their school on the other. I'm thinking of Pinkham School. Okay. Last year, I sent, they're going to Golden West and Valley Oak, so that now 700 kids, after they graduate from Pinkham, for the 6 years worth of classes, are all going underneath Lover's Lane to get out there. Parents don't work out there. Bus services doesn't cover that area. Hmm. Yet they go out there, drop off their kids, come back at 8 o'clock in the morning during high traffic time, go do the same thing when it's time to pick them up in the afternoon. Hmm. So a lot of the issues from circulation can be resolved by working through the school district in the city. I will be on that attendance committee again this year, attendance boundary committee. And it's a political thing. Tell Pinkham folks that their kids are going to go to Divisadero and Mount Whitney, and they don't like that. They rather go to Golden West, particularly if they have siblings that are already going there.
Sure.
And for those folks, that should continue to happen. That's the way it ought to be. Yeah. But if we can redirect some of our circulation problems away from some of those major intersections relative to the school district, that's one solution. Without spending $15 million for a McAuliffe overpass, we may need that, but maybe not $15 million. Anyhow, more questions.
Wow. Let me ask you, just in the paper the last couple of days, we've seen some ads by a citizens group that has complained bitterly about the Enchanted Playhouse and the fact that the city utilized its eminent domain powers to stop the sale of a piece of property on Main Street, the old Main Street Theater, from going to one entity and took it into the city. Mm-hmm. And then it's now being utilized by the Enchanted Playhouse. Do you have any thoughts on if not that project in particular, about the use of eminent domain and when is it appropriate? You know, we had the Supreme Court earlier this year declaring that a city in Connecticut could seize private property and give it to another private property owner if it was in the public interest. But a lot of people were upset about that. Where do you stand?
That issue is, I read both of one on the ad on Saturday and the one again this morning.
It's right.
Was put together, the advertisement said from Purge, citizens group that was not very happy with what happened, and they may be part of a class action suit that's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Could be.
I would make a couple comments. One, on that particular issue, the Planning Commission did not see that project. It did not come to us. It was scheduled to come to us because a church on Main Street is a little different and would have required a variance of some kind, rather conditional use or a variance.
Right.
It didn't happen. It didn't come to the Planning Commission. The City Council elected to work on it prior to us, and it pulled it out of the public arena, so to speak. A couple issues just reading it, one or two things come to mind. One, probably it's not appropriate for me to comment on something. If I become a city councilman, this could be me on one side of the dais and a legal situation separate.
Sure,
but I'll
comment
on it in general.
But in general, I think people probably are interested in knowing where folks would stand.
Right.
Apparently,
yeah.
The states can do things and cities can do things.
Right. Probably. One of the things that bothers me about this particular criticism that hit was the Saturday's document. If you are affiliated with any, I'm going to say a play, a theater. You're involved with the Ice House Theater.
Sure.
If you're affiliated and you're on that board, and you're also a city council person, if you're buying and selling, if you're on both sides of the coin, you should recuse yourself. You should not be part of that action. You should say, sorry, gentlemen, I would like to step outside the room, and you discuss this as you wish, and I am not going to represent either side. I'm going to walk away from the board on this. On the Ice House Theater side, and I'll walk away from that other side. If I have a business that's within 300 to 500 feet, probably recuse myself on that side too. Now they were referencing Mayor Link, and I don't know that his business is within 500 feet. But whether it is or not, if he's in the 500 feet, then he has the same obligation as planning commissioners do to say, "I'm sorry, I can't vote on this. I have personal property within a certain number of feet." Victor Perez not long ago recused himself on the issue on Walnut Avenue because his house is relatively close to the COS farm.
Sure.
And that's an appropriate thing to do. I've recused myself from that kind of thing. Those kind of issues would cause recusals, which would take that cloud out of the operation. Mm-hmm. And that's appropriate to do. On the church and state, that's a tough one. And because now you're mixing church and state, and I think that's where folks like yourself with a legal background to deal with that ought to be called in. And I think you need to use minds that are legally oriented in some cases rather than politically oriented.
Well, one thing that occurred to me just as a question as a citizen not knowing much about the whole issue was, why this wasn't just handled through zoning. I think a city does have the right to control within a certain range the usages of like a main street, for instance, the commercial area, that sort of thing.
It's interesting. Because
would you think that's more appropriate, for instance, to handle things that way as opposed to the use of eminent domain?
The eminent domain process is used when you really need to use it, when you're going to build a street or something like that. I'm not familiar with an eminent domain situation that was like this one before in my lifetime. I have not seen anything like that. We do have a Buddhist temple one block over, a little bit to the east.
Well, the other church near Shagnasty's.
Presbyterian church over on what's it, Oak Street?
Yeah.
Beautiful church just a few blocks away. We have churches to the south of Main Street. Right. But Main Street in general is a business district where people walk down and we've set it up so that there is no setback for buildings on Main Street. You want to look in the building. You want a shop, and we want a continuity for people to walk down the street. So that's kind of what we're wanting to do there.
Great. Well, Sam, let me ask you this: you've given us a lot to think about today, but would you like to make a statement to the listeners about perhaps your vision for Visalia? A little something to wrap up the interview that. Yeah, you can tell them, how you'd like things to look if you were on the city council.
Okay, I'll go to three or four comments in my summary. One, the issue of growth. There's a new policy or a new planning process called form-based planning. We saw it down in Santa Clarita. I went down and visited. We've seen it in, in Pasadena, and it's where you have shops on the ground floor and residents or something like that on the upper floors. It's like Visalia was in 1900. You had the livery stable down the street, and you didn't have a parking issue. So the new issue is now where do you put the cars that you do with that? Santa Clarita has built the multi-story right behind the multi-story parking lot, excuse me, right behind the facility, the places to live. In Pasadena, they went underground. They have 100,000 people coming to town, and they have multi-story buildings, but capabilities of putting 100,000 cars underground, which is just incredible. We can't do this here because the cars would get a little wet. Our water table, fortunately, it's still high enough so that you can't do underground parking. So the first issue that I would love to see the city have at some point in time, a skyline. I love the new office building for the Cuyah Delta Hospital. Right. Cuyah Delta Hospital has gone on a footprint that's very, very small. Southeast corner of the city, Cuyah Delta, has 100 acres. The new 460-acre plan development that we're working on right now would call for the form-based planning, would call for the footprint for the hospital to be much smaller. In the area of education, I'd love to see us begin negotiations for a four-year in educational institution so kids wouldn't have to, or adults wouldn't have to commute to Fresno or Bakersfield. And water and air quality and the scenic corridor are quality of life issues that mandate not just the city council, but every citizen to work on. When we have a call for folks like we do this week to go down and look at how the new city hall is going to be constructed, new civic center,
right,
we should have people volunteering, jumping up and down to help. This is a great community. It's not just city council. It's council people listening to the citizens, and that's what I would recommend for the folks in our community. Listen and contribute.
Well, Sam, thank you very, very much. Appreciate you taking the time.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Sam Logan. As a licensed broadcast station, KVLP is serious about the obligation to operate in the public interest and to afford reasonable opportunity for the discussion of conflicting views of issues of public importance. KVLP does not support or oppose any candidate. No money, service, or other valuable consideration has been directly or indirectly paid or promised to or charged or accepted by KVLP from any person or persons or corporation, committee, association, or other unincorporated group or other entity. KVLP is not required to permit the use of its facilities by any candidate and by policy does not grant such requests. Any rebroadcast of this unique news presentation is a violation of FCC regulations. Please email your comments to kvlp@radio.fm. Stay tuned to 101.5 for more candidate interviews throughout this election season. And remember, if you don't register, you can't vote.